From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of studies in the Book of Judges. Following the conquest of Canaan, Israel had forgotten much of what God had done for them, had intermarried with the heathen remaining in the land, and fallen into apostasy by worshiping the false gods of the Canaanites. Ultimately, they were placed under tribute at the hands of their enemies, precipitating a succession of servitude, repentance, and deliverance, a pattern that continues throughout the Book of Judges. At this point in time, Israel was under the rule of Moab, whose king was a wicked man named Eglon. As the people of Israel cried to the Lord for mercy, God raised up Ehud, a left-handed Benjamite, who could not accept his nation's powerlessness in the face of the enemy. This warrior judge is an example to the church today to obey God and resist the powers of darkness. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called Ehud, the Man with the Two-Edged Sword. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Broken and Smoking. The text is Isaiah 42 and verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Then I may reckon upon tender treatment from my Lord. Indeed, I feel myself to be at best as weak, as pliant, as worthless as a reed. Someone said, I don't care a rush for you. And the speech, though unkind, was not untrue. Alas, I am worse than a reed when it grows by the river, for that at least can hold up its head. I am bruised, sorely, sadly bruised. There is no music in me now. There is a rift which lets out all the melody. Ah, me! Yet Jesus will not break me. And if he will not, then I mind little what others may try to do. O sweet and compassionate Lord, I nestle down beneath thy protection, and forget my bruises. Truly I am also fit to be likened to the smoking flax, whose light is gone, and only its smoke remains. I fear I'm rather a nuisance than a benefit. My fears tell me that the devil has blown out my light and left me an obnoxious smoke, and that my Lord will soon put an extinguisher upon me. Yet I perceive that though there were snuffers under the law, there were no extinguishers, and Jesus will not quench me. Therefore I am hopeful. Lord, kindle me anew, and cause me to shine forth to thy glory and to the extolling of thy tenderness. As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Whose only message from God is a message of death, doom, and damnation. Woe to the man to whom Almighty God has nothing else to say but death and destruction. You should take that personally, very, very seriously. You have in your possession the Bible, which brings you the message of life. You come to services like this, where you have in song and in sermon presented to you the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, the life. You have the invitation to repent and be converted. You have the message that Paul says is the message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and in His stead we beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. What a message that is! What an invitation that is! What an opportunity it is for every man and woman and child to flee to Christ and be eternally saved. But I want to tell you, my friend, there comes a time when sinners have hardened their hearts against God, when God's book of grace is closed, when God's message of life is finished, and the only thing left for God to speak is the word of judgment, of death, of doom, of destruction, and of utter darkness. Woe to a man who will not have grace, and therefore must have judgment. That's certainly the case with Eglon. Ehud had made himself a short sword, a two-edged sword of one cubit. Some discussion as to the length of the cubit, but normally about 18 inches. Hidden in his right side, under his garment. Took it and he ran it through Eglon's obese body. He thrust it so accurately and so fiercely that Eglon's body fat closed over not only the blade but the handle so that Ehud couldn't withdraw it. In fact, it appears that that little phrase, "the dirt came out," is very difficult of translation, but it appears that it may well be saying that the thrust was so accurate, the angle was so precise, and the power was so great that the blade pierced right through the body, and it was the sword itself that came out. Having done that, Ehud calmly out, turned the key in the lock, boldly walked through the courtiers, and was free. And the first step in Israel's deliverance was complete. Now, Ehud is a good spiritual example for Christians. I say a spiritual example. He's not an example for our actions in the natural world, but in the spiritual world. You see, you really can't use Ehud as a justification for going to take the law into your own hands and saying, "Now there is a good, big, fat apostate, I'm going to stick a sword in him." There's an enemy of God, he'd look better with his head under his arm. So, let's do the job. No, you can't do that because, remember, Ehud was God's appointed judge. And in this, he was not acting as a mere private person. He was acting as an appointed judge. And indeed, not only the judge, but the executioner for the whole nation of Israel. Now, we're not called to deal with a natural nation. We're called to deal with the spiritual Israel. We do have a sword, but our sword is the Word of God. And it's nonetheless powerful for being a spiritual sword. So Ehud is a spiritual example for the people of God. And we are to seek to emulate this man with the two-edged sword. As we think of him, the verses that we have read will lead us to think simply of two things, the warrior and his weapon. Let me just talk for a minute about the man, the warrior. The first thing that strikes me is he was a warrior. He was a warrior. He was commissioned of God to be a warrior, a man of war. He was stirred up of the Lord that he could not accept the impotence of Israel. Others may be able to accept it, but Ehud could not accept the impotence of Israel. When he looked out and he saw Moab ruling the land, his heart rebelled. He could not accept the victory of the enemy. He was stirred up to be a warrior. Somebody was telling me the other day, maybe you'll come and remind me afterwards of the details that passed at the moment out of my mind. I think of the Presbyterian Church, the PC, or Presbyterian Church US, that it has decided in its hymn book to cut out all the hymns of battle, all the hymns of warfare. That doesn't surprise me. Man, these apostates have for generations now been licking thumbs with the enemies of God. They have been embracing the very apostasy that God's word curses. They don't want hymns of battle because they are not at war. But the people who are going to do anything for God are going to be a people who are at war with the world, with the flesh, and with the devil. We are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are commissioned of God to be in the front line of the enemy. And I want to tell you, if you have a heart that is really touched with the love of Christ, and if you have a heart that yearns for the blessing of God, you cannot be at peace when you think of the powerlessness of the church and its witness in these days. You can't readily accept that the Church of Jesus Christ should be relegated to a minor role, that it doesn't have the power to challenge the apostasy, that it doesn't have the power to make an impact upon the nation, especially in a nation like this, whose history, at least in its formative years, was so much directed by the power of godly men. You cannot possibly simply sit back and be happy at the powerlessness of the church and at the victory of the enemy. We are called to be warriors. Second thing we notice about the warrior here is that he was a Benjamite. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 49, you'll find that you've got the blessing of Jacob upon his sons. And in verse 27, you have the blessing on Benjamin. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. It was the blood-bought right and the God-given right of this tribe to have victory. And as a Benjamite, to whom God had given such a promise, Ehud was stirred up to go out onto the front line of the battle and to claim that promise from God. Now let me tell you, my friend, God's redeemed and blood-bought people are a victorious people. When it says sin shall not have dominion over you, the meaning is really one of justification, that you're brought out from under the awful crushing burden of sin and of the law, that you're set totally free from that by the justifying grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But justification naturally produces sanctification. And you'll find that it is the will of God that God's people live in victory over sin. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. The old things pass away. All things become new. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, John tells us. And again, the Christians in the seven churches in Asia Minor, are referred to in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 as the overcomers. To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. Again and again, that description comes out, not for an elite among God's people, but as the norm for the people of God. We belong to a people whose God-given, blood-bought right is that of victory. You have the right, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, to be in victory in your life. You have the right to live in holiness. You have the right to be able to conquer sin and temptation. You have the right not to be trodden upon by the world and the fear of man. You have the God-given right to live as a prince in this world, as a king and a royal priest. That's your God-given right as a Christian. And that's the right of the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't believe for one moment that it is the will of God that His church simply stagger from one crisis to another, that we simply look around us for the best answer to our problems. I believe it is the God-given right and promise to the Church of Jesus Christ to have the Holy Spirit, to have Him in fullness, to know Him in power, to feel His fire, and to know His reviving touch. That is our right. We are not living up to that right. We're like the children of Israel, held down under a Moabitish tyranny. All we need, like Ehud, to come and plead that promise, Lord, you've made us spiritual Benjamites. Give us the victory. Ehud was a warrior. Ehud was a Benjamite. We read that he was left-handed. Actually, that tells me he was a limited man. Now, if you're left-handed, don't get all upset with me. I say that deliberately. He was limited. The words in the Hebrew Bible here mean simply that he was shut or impeded of his right hand. Now, that may mean that, quite simply, he was left-handed. But there are other ways to put that, and they occur later in the Bible. The word means shut. If it weren't for the fact that in chapter 20, you have 700 Benjamites who are described in the very same words, I would suspect that he was crippled in his right hand. But I don't think that all 700 of those Benjamite warriors could have been crippled. So it has a strong probability that it's saying he was left-handed. But I think he was left-handed because, probably from lack of exercise or practice with that hand, it was really useless for the battle. But whatever the reason for him being said to be shut in his right hand, he was shut there. He was impeded, as the word indicates. He was impeded of his right hand. He was deficient in his right hand. But he made up for the deficiency of that hand with the skill of the other hand. You see, too often, what we are not and what we cannot do becomes an excuse to do nothing. I can't do this, so therefore I'll not do that. It doesn't make very good logic, but that's the way we operate. I am not like he is or she is, therefore I do nothing. In other words, we want to be supermen before we're willing to be any kind of man for God. But this whole book of Judges will show you that the Lord uses ordinary and indeed limited men. Limited instruments for His glory in defeating the enemy. Here we read in chapter 3 of Him using the man shut of His right hand.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.